afternoon and welcome to Let's Talk Healing. I'm your host, Anna. Listeners, I would like to first thank you for your time and your listening support. I'd also like to thank our generous sponsors. Our show today is on family patterns, and we have with us today Carol, who's our guest, who's going to be joining us with this discussion. But now I'd like to introduce you to the inspirational healer this show is dedicated to, Atana. You've just heard his music and you'll continue to hear his music throughout the broadcast. He is an author, musician, master energy healer, and international teacher, just to name a few. But what makes him really special is he's created a method to help as many people as possible on their healing journey called the Atana Method. The easiest way to find him is to Google him or go to his site, atanamethod.com. And now I would like to welcome Atana himself. Hello, Atana.
Hello, wonderful Anna, our birthday child for this month in June. I am very happy to be here. Happy birthday, Anna. And I'm happy to have also Dawn with us, our wonderful producer. And we have also wonderful Carol with us. I'm so happy also to have these wonderful listeners with us, these happy sponsors that are loving to support us, to support you. And we are grateful that this all is happening so we can support you and inspire you to live your best life ever.
Thanks, Atana. And you really do live that. And that's how Atana is, listeners. He's very consistent in those messages. Atana, today the topic, family patterns. In your book, Sacred Inner Dialogue, you have an entire chapter on family patterns. And yes. I wanted to discuss the topic because it is a really interesting topic. And I'd love just to kick off. I know that you are an energy healer, and energy forms patterns in families cross-generationally. We're also starting to see this scientifically now with cell memory, and we can actually prove these patterns exist. I'd love to just dive in and why is this such a central focus of your work?
Well, a big part of my work is to help people effectively move forward and change their patterns. And it's not about just changing them for a week and then they go back to an old social behavior that they learned in a family setting. It's about transforming this for good and giving them also give the person also an opportunity to change and transform their lives. But also what I really appreciate here is also help the family members that are stuck and usually held that person back can actually participate in that change and healing.
So where does this, I mean, I guess like if we look at addiction, say alcoholism or something that runs through patterns in families, how else do these patterns show up?
These patterns, they show up in behavior. I look at this energetically in terms of energy patterns that are depleting, that are taking energy, or so-called energy dumping, where unresolved energies are being basically dumped on a person. And these patterns that family members don't want to work on or start a healing process or recognize or even talk about, they're being basically suppressed until the most sensitive person in that family constellation has to either live it out, work it out, become the black sheep of the family, so to speak, or has to transmute it in one way or the other in a destructive form.
And so you think sometimes one person has that responsibility in a family. Do you think that's a karmic thing?
It could be very easily karmically. Also, I feel when the person comes in, they see basically the constellation and the energy dynamics. And it's about who can be serving that collective, that system in the best way possible, because this is a tribe. Let's think about it when the tribes on the planet were nomads, when they were traveling literally from one location to the other. The tribe has to stay intact. And so it's about survival. So whenever there is dysfunctional energies that could compromise the tribe, somebody is going to be the designated transformer that has to transmute that that crappy energy if not everybody is fully aware or conscious. And usually in a tribe, many people have different, almost every person has their own different field of expertise and application of work and what they do to keep that collective flowing. And so everyone has like a designated space, and often that part was designated, let's say, for shaman or for the healer or the seer or the seeress. And I look at that very energetically and in a very simplistic way. Negative energy is being built up in the family. What's going to be done about it? If everybody ignores it, they're going to attract a conflict that can come from the inside or the outside. It could destabilize that tribal setting, that tribal configuration. And before that happens, the most sensitive part person in that tribe will transmute it so it doesn't come to that destructive moment.
And how about disease patterns in families? Can you also work on those?
Absolutely. When you look at and you said a little bit earlier about alcoholism or addiction, and even rage and anger, and you know, there's also depression that's running to the family, but it goes even so deep as failure patterns, limiting success. It goes like from, no, you shouldn't be a singer because that's not something that our forefathers did. They worked all in the coal mine. You should go back and work with us in the coal mine. And, you know, it's really interesting to see how even the social economic patterns are influenced by our forefathers, you know, and our ancestors. Because when all, let's say, a person's family members all work in the factory, and let's say they work in a they are in a city where everybody is like working in the car industry, let's say, or in the paper industry, or even in the fish industry, or whatever industry they're at. Now, if that's a village or a place or a city where they are familiar with it, and I say familiar for a reason that goes so far back that they had two or three generations working there, then of course they're going to be expected to work there too. And that could be a limitation, but it's also a survival thing because they didn't know anything else.
So this failure pattern, this is a very interesting concept. How does a failure pattern show up in a family? What would that look like?
Think about immigration. When people emigrated from countries where their land was taken from them, right? And they feel that in their hearts, in their minds, even as a traumatic experience. Just consider somebody says from now on this the whole political system changed, and all of a sudden these people are not being allowed to own any land, any houses anymore, and even hold any jobs, any work in social environments anymore. Then if a person is being stripped of that, then of course they're going to sooner or later say, well, what the heck am I doing here? I better leave this country. So they move somewhere else where it's better. And it might be a blessing ultimately because they move into a new place, have a new beginning, meet new people, maybe get fresh DNA into the tribe. But ultimately, they also carry that disappointment, that fear of losing, that traumatic experience of something being taken from them against their will, and they really couldn't stand up to it, otherwise they would have lost their lives. They carry that literally in their energy field. And so they go to another, right? And if they go to another country, then they will be hesitant to fully apply themselves because they don't know if they fully apply themselves at their own land again. It could be taken again away from them. And some master in the first generation, but the second generation have anxiety about things that they don't even know what it is.
Yeah, and my own experience, I mean, I've never had an experience like that, but My experience of working with you is so much of what you call these blueprints. And we'll sort of talk a little bit about that too, our unconscious in us. And a lot of your work is about raising awareness to these blueprints and these almost hidden, they're so common within you that you actually cannot see the patterns. And what I find you have this incredible ability to do is actually see those patterns, bring them to the surface. What you speak about is bringing them to the surface to be transformed. Yes. So that's my own experience, and I'll go into a couple of parts of my own life in a minute, just so to give some listeners some examples. But just going back to that patterning, is that what is that actually what is happening, Atana? Do you see that pattern in people when you're working with them?
I do. I do see that pattern in their lineage. I see what trauma they're working out for their lineage and what trauma they're working out from their past lives. And that goes that these are two separate things, even though they're aligned in they're folded in the same experience. They seem to be happening at the same time, but they're energetically, multidimensionally happening in two different dimensions. Yes, at the same time, think about a past life traumatic experience, and then a family traumatic experience that's being where they're being forced to work it out. Or the person. And it's more like a muscle memory that's expressed. Very similar like children when they are experience some events during the birth, and how it's being scientifically proven that they're actually acting that same birth trauma out energetically. You know, where, for example, the umbilical cord was wrapped around the neck. And a lot of the children playing with ropes and playing with being almost suffocated. And I'm sure even the idea where people commit suicide to hanging, I'm sure it has to do with that in some way and form too, because it's just they came in that way, they go out that way. I'm sure there's some connection. But it goes even further back where the experiences that our forefathers or grandparents, grandparents had, they are also memorized as failure or successes, as also the interpretation of these events. They are like, should I take this risk or not? Should I settle or should I not settle? I framed it with the wonderful idea of the Clash song, even in the book. Should I stay or should I go? It's more like the memory that our grandparents, for example, often I have this where in family settings, women or men settled because they didn't feel they should change the status quo or rock the boat once they had families in place moving forward, because they were afraid that it's going to traumatize the family. And then they settled, even though they were not happy. And so they transferred that to their children. And then the children, at a certain point, they said, well, I should probably stay in that same situation because I didn't really have any guidance in how I could facilitate that change for me, because they're settled. Mm-hmm. And so that pioneer path has the trailblazer path has to be created somewhere, and it doesn't really matter how far it goes back. It can be 10 generations if that memory is still memorized in their DNA or even in the energy field, what then imprints on the DNA. That's something that has to be adjusted. Otherwise, the idea that it's impossible or not possible will always loom somewhere.
It's a fascinating concept. We're going to need to take a quick commercial break, but I'd love to come back and talk about this trailblazing path a little bit more. Thank you, listeners. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Let's Talk Healing. I am your host, Anna. Today we are talking on family patterns, specifically family energy patterns. It's a fascinating topic. Atana and I have just been having a quick chat about this trailblazing past that shows up in energy patterns in families and how it can be difficult to move from there. Atana, I'm sure people can look in their families and see these patterns. Sometimes, you know, in my life, I've had experiences where I thought, oh my, I've almost had little flashes before my eyes where I thought, oh my goodness, you know, I'm actually working out a lot of the patterning of both my mother and my father that they could never work out for themselves. And I get that feeling of this is my responsibility. And actually a lot of it isn't even mine. A lot of it is coming from my lineage and my historical from even other countries away. That's, you know, I get this feeling that this is my thing. Can we talk a little bit about that and when a person has that realization? Because we don't want to get stuck in that place, do we? We want to be able to transform that so then we can move forward and be of greater service. Yeah, can we just talk a little bit about that?
Yes, and we have to get to the place also recognizing they might just did the best they could in that situation under the circumstance. We are now in a whole way deeper consciousness and awareness in what could have been done, but there was also a pressure and a certain way of lifestyle that was imprinted on them, so where they really didn't thought they could do any different. They didn't know that they had these liberties and literally can go into the God or Goddess connection, the universal connection, and ask and you shall receive kind of thing, you know? And they get to this place where they manifested these limitations, and it's okay for us to recognize these limitations and recognize where that comes from. That comes from the lineage of my mother. It comes from the lineage of my father. Or, you know, it goes even further back. Who knows? If that's like something that karmically was already started somewhere, and then, by the way, my lineage has that too. Now, whenever we get to this place, we have to stop taking that also way too personal. The thing is, these are just patterns. These are literally patterns, and the people that we grew up with, they didn't know better. They had these patterns in place and implemented, and they imprinted them on us so that we could be surviving in the best way possible. Because at that point, what they knew is that that worked, that the people who had these patterns most likely survived that. So they now imprinting that on the future generation, because it worked for the generation before. And so they say, let's make sure that the children are being trained in the exact same way. Well, they're not going to be super rich. They're not going to be super famous. They're not going to be super happy, but they're going to survive. And so for that survival moment, a lot of that art expression, the creative expression, was sacrificed, because they say, well, we just want our children to survive. But now you and I, we know this is not just about surviving, it's about thriving. We want to thrive. We want to be living our best lives that we can live, and most effectively, just surviving is barely not utilizing 99.9% of our potential.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We need more people in that thriving space. You know, I was thinking about this during the week, and what you just touched on, this creativity, this culture, this all of this creative aspect of ourselves. We can really only get to that if we are thriving, because otherwise we're just focusing on the basics. And we need people to be in that creative space, so then we can solve issues to the world in science, art, business, all aspects that contribute to the evolution of the planet.
Yes.
And, you know, that is why this work is so important. We have the lovely Carol with us today, who has been a long-time Atana Method teacher. Hello, Carol.
Hello. Thank you for
How
having me on
today.
I'm great. Having a good day.
Good. Now, you've been teaching this method for a long time, and you've got your own clients, and this family pattern work you would have seen come up quite a lot. And I'd love to hear about some of your own experiences with dealing with these patterns, how they show up and how you work with them to help transform them in people's lives so they can thrive, Carol.
Yes, we want to thrive. Well, and that makes me think about one thing that I think about is sometimes it's really obvious, like you were talking about, alcoholic parents or, you know, something really overt in the family. And then as Atana was talking about, sometimes these patterns are subtle and people are living like what appears to be a totally normal, you know, quote, happy lives, without really understanding why they're feeling this underlying restlessness. The person is married and family and everything should be, according to the magazines, just right, but they're not happy. And so when we start doing the energy work, that's when we start discovering, you know, that there's these underlying family patterns that are happening. And that's what I see too. What Atana was talking about made me remember sometimes some issues that clients had where they would, like the parents or the grandparents or I don't know how many generations back, you know, would like hold on to like religious tenets, right? Because that like helped them survive at the time. And so they passed that on down the lineage. And sometimes the religious tenets were very strict and very confining. And as the newer generations came along, it was uncomfortable for them, because that's one thing I've seen with the children, you know, for the last several generations, the children are coming in without that consciousness of our grandfathers and our great grandparents. And the children are coming in and saying, why do we have to struggle so hard? And I remember decades ago, even thinking that myself, when I would see these kids that were like not feeling the struggle, right? And it'd be like, well, wait a minute, they should be struggling. They should be working hard and, you know, and struggling like the rest of us. And that's because I was well indoctrinated into that myself, into the family patterns of, you know, there's merit in struggle. That's like so permeated in our society here of just, you know, it's like, when you have struggled, you have done good, you know. It's like, yeah. But we have, you know, and Atana's here to teach us, like, it doesn't have to be that way. It really doesn't. And that comes from those family patterns that are sometimes subtly embedded in our blueprints and in our lineage that we don't even know that they're there, because we might just be thinking or feeling like, hey, I'm in a happy, normal family, and this is what we do. Until you go somewhere or start meeting a new group, or until you start just your own awakening process and you start to feel like, does it really have to be this way? I'm not sure.
And yeah. You know, I just wanted to say there just quickly, I had a similar thing, because I do one-on-ones with Atana, which are incredible, by the way. If anybody wants to find out how to do that, you can go on and to jump on Atana's website, and you can actually book private sessions with him. I do mine via Skype, but you can do them face-to-face as well. But we've also been working on these subtle patterns, Carol, too. And, you know, there was a stress pattern in there for me, which looked like working really hard, and but it's subtle. It's not an overt pattern. And that pattern, I realized, is a family pattern. It comes throughout my whole family. And you know, it was difficult for me to actually see it. So this is, it's actually very interesting what you're saying, that these patterns can be very subtle.
Yes, yes, because we, you know, they're blind spots for us because they're part of our makeup. And as we grew up, we were told this is how it is. Like Atana was saying, like, this is what it is to survive. And if you want to survive here, this is how we operate. And I had a pattern that was basically, it was as if someone was standing over me with an umbrella and saying, if you want to have sunshine, you have to, you know, give me something for it. You know, and I just went, oh, okay. Right? Because that's what I, you know, and it took Atana to show me that I could just like step out from under the umbrella, you know, because the sunshine is available to everyone, right? It's like the oneness is available to everyone. But when we're born into this and when we're reared up with this is not even something that's verbally taught to us, it's energetically taught to us and it's reinforced through actions and behaviors, then we don't know to question it until some events happen, usually some events happen that make us start wondering, is this really how it has to be? Because I'm not happy this way.
Mm. Very good example, too.
Yeah.
So I'm interested because these patterns, because they are subtle, how can people recognize them? Or do they just come to you and say, I feel something's not right, or I'm just unhappy? Is that how it presents?
For me, it is. Sometimes sometimes it's, they come to me and they say, I'm not sure about my marriage, or I'm not being able to have friends. You know, like I have acquaintances at work, but I just can't seem to have any friends that stick with it or, you know, that stick with me. It might come looking like a problem like that. Maybe it's a relationship issue, a job issue, a prosperity issue. And we start working with it like that. And then these deeper patterns, these blueprint patterns start to reveal themselves. That it goes deeper and deeper. And that's the beauty of Atana's method, is that it's, you know, it's unlimited. So the work itself, as you start revealing and healing these aspects, you're able to go deeper and deeper into the lineage and into these codes that were written in and or blueprint patterns, you know, that were written in and transform them. Because ultimately, like this is what I like to remind people. Really, it's just about you healing you. We've talked about this before. One of the beautiful things of the Atana, what he teaches us is to empower our own self-healing, our own self-love and our own self-healing. And so when people start to realize that these patterns, like they go back into the family, that gets a little scary sometimes, because then it's like, okay, well then do I have to heal my whole family, or what do I do with this? Then you just bring it back to, you heal yourself. You heal yourself and then see how everything else unfolds. Go from there.
Yeah, it's simple. You go from there. We're going to go to another quick commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to continue on this interesting topic, family patterns. Thank you, listeners. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Let's Talk Healing. I'm your host, Anna. Today we have Carol with us, and we also have, obviously, Atana. We are discussing family patterns. And just if anybody is not aware, the easiest way to access Atana is to simply Google him or go to his website, atanamethod.com. There you'll find access, as I said before, to his classes, his events, his healing sessions. As I said before, you can do it on Skype like I do, or you can do it in person at his beautiful offices, or you can do group or online trainings, his books. You can find his books, his music, his links to his YouTube channel. He's got a Facebook channel and an Instagram page. He's got, and there's all this information on the crystal stores and much more. So let's dive back into this discussion where Carol was just talking a little bit about coming back to heal yourself. And I guess clearing up these family patterns that keep us stuck and limited and in survival mode don't allow us to break free from the lineage that we've come from. The idea of this is to free us up so we can thrive and then solve problems to heal and actually be contributing to the planet in a positive way. So, Atana, can we just talk a little bit more about creating new blueprints for yourself? Because how does somebody do that? So let's just say I come to you and I recognize that there's patterns that are limiting me and keeping me stuck. How can we then create these new blueprints? What are some of the things that we can be doing?
First, we can recognize which are the patterns that we are repeating for our parents and grandparents and our lineage. And that gives us a good idea how much we are on autopilot, because we don't really think about a lot of things that we are taking for granted that we're doing on a daily basis. I mean, even just look at us driving the cars. We are just, you know, going in, driving, and there we are. We are home. Same with automatic behaviors and patterns that we have from childhood on, because we have them down pat. Generations have created this morphogenetic field that we followed, and then we utilize that because our forefathers and our grandparents, they had already worked out, carved out some morphogenetic paths and pathways for us that we basically then introduced into our brain frequencies as pathways, as neuron pathways. And so when that happens, we don't even think about it. We're just doing it. The moment when you reflect, when you observe and you sit still, you see, you understand these notions that come from the inside. You understand where jealousy is coming from. You understand where hopelessness is coming from. You understand where the drive is coming from. You understand where these dynamics of energy, these notions of energies from the inside coming up to the surface, where they originate from. I mean, from your own source, of course, in your source connection, but they come to that filter system and then they have a different spin. It's coming out in a different form. It's almost like, you know, when you're on the tennis court and you have these automatic tennis ball shooters that send you that tennis ball towards you, and one of these tennis ball shooters have these weird spins on them where like constantly goes all over the place, you know, and and you're wondering what the heck, where is it going? You know, I'm right here. Why am I not being able to? And it's always like a guessing game. And often when we have our emotional energies not fully in balance and we have somebody in our family that was giving us an impression that emotional energy is not utilizable or usable, then we either suppress it or it comes out in a really uncontrolled, unhealthy way, dysfunctional form. And when we get to this place where we're observing, and you can do this very easily with energy work. When you do energy work, you sit still, you meditate with a crystal, or you just meditate after yoga or to yoga, you can actually observe these notions of energy coming through you. And you recognize, is this like my female energy expressing itself? Is this my masculine energy expressing itself? Am I more in the masculine? Am I more in the feminine? Am I more in the balance? You have to first recognize utilizing what energy in your daily life is your habit. And then recognize, where did you inherit this? Was your father more active or was your mother more active? Was your father more passive? Was your mother more passive? And then you have inherited already these behavior structures and dynamics by just merely observing and seeing that they survived it. So for you, that's, if you do the same, that means that's survivable. And it would be favorable to you then doing something that you don't know. So you will automatically adapt to this. And once you recognize it and you see these patterns, you're going to utilize them too, because that means you're going to be able to survive. Now, if you go deeper, you can see, look, are these notions, are these dynamics are still valid for me? Because they did the best they could do. And I utilize these patterns up to this point. But I'm not going to repeat. I'm not going to just wanting to live the life of my parents. I want to live my own life. As a creative person, you owe this to yourself. Mm. You're more than just a reflection of the past lineage structure or grandparents. And if they have been saints, of course you want to go that direction. Just be a saint, you know. But you know what they say. Every saint has a past, every sinner has a future. So know that when you go into understanding, recognizing these patterns, and they might be favorable or not favorable, but you owe it to yourself to live your own creative life's expression. Maybe you create something totally different that nobody in your lineage ever created so far. And you are the person that's the trailblazer and that creates something new. And you owe it to yourself to be your creative self that expresses yourself in a beautiful, loving way. And that doesn't mean that if you have philanthropists in your lineage, that you cannot be also a philanthropist, or that you can be even as an influencer in some way or form that inspires people to do something beautiful or save the oceans or the air. And that is also something you can do. But if they haven't had that notion in the past and you're the first person to step out and to serve humanity, then do it.
Great. I just love listening to you talk. So true. I think, I'm in my 40s now. I'm in my early 40s. And I guess that time of life, you also reflect and you think about, what I've done and what I want to do. And it's quite interesting because I've been using this work really to help me really shift my life into this new phase that I want. And part of that is what you've just spoken about, living the best life I can possibly live, living my own creative expression, stepping out of the shadow of a lot of these family patterns that I feel were ingrained in me from an early childhood. Like one thing as well, you know, just that I can use in this example for the listeners is, you know, when I was brought up, I was taught there was good and bad emotions, and the bad emotions you just don't express. You know, it's, you know, not okay to be negative. It's not okay to express real frustration and sadness, that they're bad emotions. And so I've had to integrate that a lot. And in with my son now, you know, they're not taught about good and bad emotions anymore. They're just taught these are emotions and it's okay to feel them. And working with him as a child has helped me as an adult work through that as well and integrate. There is no good and bad. They're just all emotions, and it's actually okay to feel them. And then how do we want to express that? This is one example. But I use your work every day to help me reach this place of I want to thrive. I want to be the best. I want to reach my potential. I want to, you know, leave this earth feeling like I have offered my best self this lifetime. And that's what I'm doing. And one of the things and the techniques that's really helped me a lot, Atana, is working with your crystals. And so I shop with you and then we fly them down here to Australia and they're beautiful. And I actually have a crystal room where I have all your crystals. People come in and they're like, oh my God. It's a very indulgent room. It's for me where I can meditate and do some yoga and just do my energy work and my healing. And it's my prize room. It's my favorite room in my house. But these crystals really help. And I'd love to just hear a little bit more about how people can work with crystals.
The work with crystals is something that I often remind people on. Of that they grow in millions of years. They are not just grown overnight, they grew over millions of years. So the first thing that we learn from the crystals is always patience. Patience, knowing that our time is going to come, and look at the completion of many of these crystals. They are in such a fabulous state, in a vibrancy, in a clarity, in a form, in a ideal form that they incarnate, and they managed for millions of years to stay intact. Now we can learn and look. Often I say our lives are so intense, and when we are born, we manage, 40, 50 years into the life, we're already like screwed up, and the other part of the life, we're just starting healing ourselves. Now look at these crystals. They have experienced millions and millions of years. They have seen civilizations come and go. They have seen the earth changes over millions of years. And here they are giving witness of these transformational times, of the abundance, of the prosperity of Mother Earth. And they remind us how much is possible, how much potential and light there is there in this planet. Every time we start working with the crystals, that's what we aligning ourselves with. And of course, we align ourselves with the bigger family, with Mother Earth. We go from our family, from our little tribal setting, all of a sudden into, oh my God, Big Mama Earth. You know, it's like, oh, you know what? This is Big Mama. I mean, there's like, you know, Big Mama sees all. You cannot mess with Big Mama. She's gonna support you if you do the right thing. She's gonna spank you if you do the wrong thing. You better do the right thing. And Mother Earth and Gaia is so powerful that we know intuitively what hurts her, what supports her, what does she love, what she hates, what she doesn't like, and what she really favors. And when we get to this place where we flow with it, we really get into this mothering part. Then we go into Father Sky. We connect with the stars. We connect with the greater family, with the mother, with the father energy, and literally with the child energy, when we realize we are part of this whole scenario and we connect with this bigger picture where we become initiated, where we become the child, then we become the parent, then we become the grandparents, and we become so much further initiated into the cycles of life and transformation that we can just be in awe when we connect with the crystal beings, with the star beings, with silica in general. If you really look, silica is really coming from the stars. And you're connecting with Mother Earth, you're connecting with all these different substances on the planet, and we're aligning ourselves with this all oneness. And this is all coming together as a big family. And we're all incarnating here as a big family, as a big oneness consciousness. And we are constantly asked to expand our awareness to the next bigger, more awareness cycles around and inside of us. Because every moment, new truths, new realities are unfolding and being recognized and being shown to us. And we get more and more opportunity to recognize the connection that we have to all our animal family beings, to our nature family beings, to the mineral kingdom. These are all family. And like they say in the Native American Indian, Mitake Oyasin, to all of my relations, because we're all in these family relationships, and we are every time asked to expand our awareness to see how much more connected we have been without even knowing or feeling it.
Absolutely. On that note, we're just going to go to one small commercial break before the end of the show, but I'd love to come back and just have a bit more of a chat about that before we go. Listeners, just stay tuned and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Let's Talk Healing. Listeners, today we are talking about family patterns. Just before we dive back in, I just wanted to let everybody know that Atana has Energy Healing Intensive Level 1 coming up. It's a class that starts on July the 6th. If you want any information, just go to his website, have a look, and you'll be able to find all the details there as well as being able to sign up. Carol, I'd like to come back to you just quickly now to hear what else you have to say about these family patterns, if I can, because you're a wealth of knowledge and we love having you on this show.
Thank you, Anna. I would like to say this to our listeners. One thing that I found very helpful when I first started working with Atana is in those quiet moments, even if you're just sitting by yourself or whether you're in meditation or yoga, or even if you have learned his healing work and are doing your healing work, is to start paying attention to and increase your awareness of, like, the thoughts, right? Like, so a thought comes through your mind, start asking, whose voice is this? Like, where does this thought come from? Does this sound like my mother? Does this sound like my dad, my grandfather? Does this sound like my spouse? And, you know, or is this just like media, mass consciousness coming through? Start to look at the thought and see, like, identify it. Where do I think this comes from? And then ask the question, Does this thought serve? Does this thought serve me? Does it serve humanity? Does it serve the earth? And then you get to have the choice about what you're going to do with that thought. If it's a
yay, that is so true, Carol. Yeah.
Yeah. If it's a anxiety thought or a depressing thought or a thought that requires you to continue to feel small, so that doesn't serve. It doesn't serve you. It doesn't serve humanity, and it doesn't serve the earth. So, you know, you might choose to let that thought go. So if it's a supporting thought, then hold it on to that and affirm that. I deserve to be happy, to feel happy.
Yeah, and you know what, it's true. I've recently been having some negative feelings about certain family members that have, you know, taken over my brain a little bit. And I use a similar technique that I say, how is this helpful? Is this helpful? Is this helping me? It's a very similar technique. And then I actually use the Atana method to help work on these thoughts, because I think my own patterning is sometimes those thoughts would consume me and overwhelm me, and then I didn't know what to do with them, and they'd rumble around in my head, and then they would affect me emotionally and how I was being in the world. So what you're saying is absolutely correct. And this Atana method, this is a life skill. And I see it more and more as I'm, you know, talking with friends and working with my kids and everything. This is a skill that you can use in every aspect. You can use it in business. You can use it personally. You can use it everywhere to help get unstuck from these thoughts or thinking or patterning. It's amazing. So thank you for sharing that with us, Carol. It's really true.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah. Beautiful. Atana, yeah, it's great. I love having you here, Carol. You're just so very grounded person and love your very practical techniques and tips. Atana, I'm just going to come back to you because it's sort of time to wrap up soon, but have you got any more messages or just even things to say to our listeners this afternoon if you have anything more on family patterns?
Yes.
If you don't want to talk about that, if you want to say something else, please share.
Yes. Remember that the family has been witnessing your whole growth process. So often we think we don't want to have anything to do with them if they don't see it the way that we want them to see it. And often we settle the way how they see us and saw us growing into who we are. But often we kind of stop to really share with them who we are now. And it's important if you want to update how the instruction manual for yourself is with how you want them to treat you. You have to be updating them. You have to let them know, even if it's like something that's for them, maybe something ridiculing. You have to stand your ground for who you are. You have to stand for yourself. You have to be true to who you are in this moment. And if they don't want to understand it, that's fine. But you have to keep on communicating it in a way without thinking like, oh, they don't understand it anyway. Teach him how they need to view you to support you. Because here's one thing that I learned. Utilize your family to support you. Don't let them not support you. You have already a very core group of people right there in your very close vicinity. Why would you not utilize them to say, hey, you know what, family? You need to support me right now. This is who I am. This is where I want to go. I need your support.
Mm. Yeah. Thank you. And you can use the Atana method to do that. Even if you feel like you actually cannot say that to some of the family members, you can actually work on that bit in and of itself, can't you?
I tell you something, I learned something. You can work. You can work on everything. That's what I learned.
You can work on everything. Anyway, yeah, I know. We're busily away working on lots of stuff as well with this Atana method. Anyway, I just wanted to say, Carol, thank you for joining us today. As always, it's just been a pleasure to have you. I just want to also say a big thank you to our amazing producer, Don, who brings us all together for this program. He's in the background working his magic. And, of course, thank you to the listeners, to our sponsors, and most of all, thank you to you, Atana. You are just incredible. Your work touches so many people and is really here to help each of us, as also to heal the planet, for the whole best of evolution. So thank you.
Anyway. You're welcome. You're welcome. I'm grateful, and I'm just going to just do what we're doing here. And thank you, BBS Radio. We love you all. Thank you.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.